with the first pick in the draft, second pick, the third pick, with the fourth pick, the fifth pick.
Here's the pitch. He swings as a long drive to right, and it is a home run for Gibson.
Matthews got it back, sets, looks, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's breaking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bag, start the plane. This game is over.
You're listening to Fantasy Advice Bros. Here's your host, Ali.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ali, and I am joined by my host, Rams, and we are the Fantasy Advice Bros. We are bringing you fantasy advice about baseball, and we are going to continue through college football. And Rams, we just got done watching a brand new movie. How are you doing, and how did you like it?
I'm doing well. I didn't too much care for it. So we watched the, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, right? Nah. I don't know why every movie now needs to be like 2.5 fucking hours, but I know you liked it, so I respect that.
I enjoyed it plenty. I thought the special effects was great. I thought the story was just original enough. I'm an old fan of the originals from the 70s. Yes, Charlton Heston days. And I love when they do the parallels. I love it when they play the old school music. And the storyline is still original enough because they're not necessarily following those movies to a T. And it's the unexpectedness that keeps me... going, and I'm hoping it's a huge hit because I'd love to watch another one.
Okay. Look, all of that is cool, right? I get that. You know, parallels and blah, blah, blah. I didn't watch any of the older ones. Who cares? Here's my question to you.
I do.
The movie was called War for the Planet of the Apes. The movie was about 2.5 hours. How much war was actually in the movie for those 2.5 hours? Because it felt like very minimal, given the fact that that was the name of the movie.
So you wanted more fighting, shooting, and dying.
Yeah, this was the third one. And the first two I really, really enjoyed. I got it. Laying foundation, telling story, et cetera, et cetera. If you're going to name your movie War, it needs to be a lot of war.
I felt like they told a war story in their own way. I was fine with it not being an all-out offensive.
Nope, I wanted an all-out offensive.
I think enough story just in the first two. Difference of opinion.
Yes, as we often have on this podcast.
Yep, and we'll continue through as I continue to be the baseball virgin and you are the baseball veteran. And while we don't do pre-production notes, on the way to this podcast, you said there's something you've been itching to mention. And I'll open it up to you in the news and notes section. Go ahead.
Yeah. So... not a ton has happened since our previous podcast because the All-Star break. Honestly, All-Star break's been kind of nice.
Yep, we watched the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, we did. It was terrific. Aaron Judge is the Incredible Hulk, even though the ball is juiced. I'm convinced at this point.
My Rob Manfred says it's the bats.
Rob Manfred is full of shit and he's deflecting. It's the ball. It's pretty undeniable at this point. There's been independent testing outside of MLB because MLB is full of shit that has demonstrated that it's the ball. It's clearly the ball when you watch enough because... the way that these dudes are hitting these balls out, a lot of these balls should be dead, like 20 feet short of the warning track, and they're just carrying and carrying and carrying out. It's the ball. But anyway, so yeah, like no games since Sunday, and so we're taking care of this on a Thursday night, so no games until tomorrow, so not much has really, really happened. The Cubbies traded for Jose Quintana today. They gave up quite a bit to get him, too. But in terms of fantasy, there's not a ton there. Jose Quintana is somebody that got drafted this year. He's somebody that's still owned in pretty much every competitive league. If you're a Quintana owner, you're a happy dude because, hey, he's on a better team. The White Sox sucked ass. And maybe, you know, he'll feel a little bit resurgent and start to rattle off some wins in the second half if the Cubs end up going on a run. But still, for fantasy, a whole lot of meh. So let's talk about, like, greatness as a whole, right? Because this came to me last week. So I've had the misfortune, I guess you could say, of playing against Clayton Kershaw in this super extended All-Star, you know, break matchup. I think I might even face him a third time in this matchup.
So let's give context. Because it's All-Star week, we usually set our lineups weekly, but it's an extended week because of the All-Star week. So instead of it being a traditional 7 days, it's now going to run.
I think it was like 13.
13 days.
Total.
That's
yeah.
Right.
But so I faced Kershaw twice last week, Tuesday and Sunday. And I have like this approach because I tend to be like a more realistic fantasy player. You know, if a player is phenomenal, like you don't watch Kershaw and say, "Wow, I hope he gives up six earned in two innings." Fuck no, it's just unrealistic, right? That's like saying, "I hope Tom Brady doesn't throw a touchdown pass in this game." Like, it's stupid, right? It doesn't happen. But the approach that I take with like our Kershaw is when I watch him pitch against me, my first thought is, I know he's gonna win. I'm putting a win in the bank. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to eat that no-hitter. Literally, like, that's the first thing in my head is, I don't want this guy to throw a no-hitter against me and just single-handedly win the week. So I'm watching him last Tuesday night against Arizona, and Arizona's got a really good offense, right? Granted, a lot better at home than on the road, and this game was in L.A. But, dude, they're in the seventh inning, and Kershaw's got a no-hitter going. And I'm sitting there like, motherfucker, it's gonna happen. And lo and behold, it gets broken up by an infield single, right? I got bailed out. I was like, thank God. I was hyperventilating for a little while there.
No, glad to see you made it.
Dude, you're not going to win. If somebody throws a no-hitter against you, there's a really, really good chance you're dicked for the whole week. There's no coming back from that. But I just started to think about it after the fact, because how often is it that you go up against somebody and you say, oh, don't throw a no-hitter? Like, it's, you know, the Tom Brady or the Aaron Rodgers parallel of, okay, I know this dude's going to throw for 350 and three, but please don't let this be the week where he throws for 505. You know what I'm saying? And it just, like, it makes me shake my head when I think about how fucking good this dude is, to where my realistic expectation slash hope is, please don't throw a no-hitter against me. It's mind-boggling.
So I even as the baseball virgin, I love your comparison to Tom Brady. You know he's going to light you up. You're just praying for the minimal damage, right? And he is only like the second or third pitcher in the history of baseball to have 14 wins before the All-Star break. And he's breaking all types of records this year. But let's talk about something I find very, very interesting. Would you call Clayton Kershaw the best pitcher in baseball today?
You got to define best pitcher.
Well, you define it. That's why I'm asking.
So here's the thing with Kershaw, right? Mm-hmm, and people mm-hmm. point to this. His postseason track record isn't...
No. I said the best pitcher in baseball today, right now. Right now. Let's talk 2017. I hate the postseason talk stuff.
If we're going to remove all postseason, anything...
We're only talking 2017. I don't want to talk about 16, then, yeah, 15, or 14.
Then yes. Then Kershaw is the best pitcher this year.
Okay, absolutely. Great. I'm glad you said that. Absolutely. Why am I glad you said that? So let's talk about Max Scherzer for a minute.
Sure. Max also great.
Max Scherzer is the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning comparisons that happened for years, right?
Right.
Max Scherzer is out-pitching him this year in strikeouts, innings, hits allowed, ERA, and FIP. In ERA plus and
look
complete games
you,
and strikeouts.
Look at you with the saber metric.
So
can we stop to drink this in at the fact that you cited an advanced stat? Like, my heart is fucking fluttering right now. I'm in disbelief.
I'm glad your wife needs to give you a hug. My real point is, though, here's what's phenomenal. Max Clayton Kershaw has more victories than Max Scherzer, but statistically, Max is having a better season. And that's why when I was asking you who's the better pitcher, it's kind of a setup question, I admit it. If I just read stats, and I often do as the baseball virgin because I don't watch nearly as much baseball as you do, and there was a draft tomorrow, and I had the number one overall pick, and I was going to take a picture, I would take Max over Kyle. Clayton, I'm sorry, Kershaw.
For fantasy, you mean?
Yes, for fantasy.
I can see that argument from a fantasy perspective, just because the thing is, fantasy and real life, context, right? The level of competition that Scherzer goes against in that division pales in comparison to who's in Kershaw's division. Kershaw has to go to Coors and pitch a few times a year. Kershaw has to go to Arizona a few times a year and pitch. Scherzer gets to pitch against the worst offenses in baseball. The Phillies, the Mets, the Braves are better, but it's still a shitty offense for the most part. Kershaw doesn't get to enjoy that benefit. For fantasy, I can kind of sort of see it, but look, for us, and we've talked about it too, our league is very, very win dependent. A lot of leagues are. Even when you do daily fantasy, like FanDuel and DraftKings, will give you a monster bonus for getting wins. And you just mentioned Kershaw setting a record for wins before the break. So from a real life and a fantasy perspective, it's still Kershaw to me.
You know, I don't disagree with your argument. Here's what I'm going to do. I could do it now, but I'm going to wait. Let's wait a few more weeks, and let's rehash this exact conversation. Let's see who is statistically doing better in fantasy. Because I'd be interested to see, because the amount of strikeouts that Max has, as you get points for that as well.
Well, we'll see. And to your point, it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out with Kershaw going forward, because the Dodgers came out about a week or so ago and said that they kind of want to limit Kershaw's workload just a little bit heading into the postseason. They win a lot of games. They should win that division, although it's extremely, extremely competitive. That's the best division in baseball this year. But it looks like they're going to be the front runner. And Kershaw's already put a lot of tread on the tires this year. So who knows? Maybe they skip a start, or maybe they don't skip any starts, but you know, they don't push him 7 or 8 if he's got a high pitch count through 6. You know what I'm saying? And that changes things. So it'll be interesting, to your point, to see how that shakes out.
Okay. But to be clear, just like in NFL, when it comes to Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, we're not going to sit here and say every week, start them. You're starting them by default. What we like to do on each episode is talk about the free agents that are available, the ones that aren't 80-plus percent owned, the unknowns. And that's what we're going to continue to do every week, especially when we come back next week, because there will be a lot more baseball have been played. But until then...
No, yeah. And just before you transition off of this, to your point, like just as an example, we were watching the Derby Monday night. Cody Bellinger was in the Derby, and you asked me, you're like, have we talked about him on the podcast? And I more or less said no, because there's no reason to. He came up in April. He's setting all kinds of records. He's been owned since the first week or two at the most that he's been up. So there's nothing for me to tell you guys. I can't tell you go pick up Bellinger. And if I tell you to go trade for Bellinger, his owner is going to want the moon and your firstborn anyway. So there's just nothing for us to really discuss. He's doing great. Super. That doesn't help. And then you throw out 80%, and that stuck with me, because I feel like a lot of the experts, and using that term loosely, kind of cheat, right? So every week, you know, Yahoo, ESPN, CBS, whatever, they have articles talking about, oh, go pick up this guy, and oh, this guy's a sleeper pickup. Okay, CBS, do you know what CBS defines a sleeper as?
No, I do not. Educate me on what sleeper means.
Dude, 80% ownership.
Wow.
If somebody is owned in 79% of leagues, 79%, okay, that's, I don't know, every fucking competitive league, CBS says, oh, that's a sleeper, go pick that guy up. I will look at their, like, waiver wire articles, whatever, every week, or sleeper hitters for the week. Dude, they've all been owned for months. Like, how do they get away with that? I don't get paid for this, and I know that that's bullshit. Like,
very interesting. If I recall, ESPN for football, I think they set the barometer as low as 50% or less or something
50,
like that.
Yeah, if I'm going to recommend somebody, and I don't look at ownership percentages, but I more or less get a feel for, okay, this guy's owned in a lot of places, or he's starting to get that way, then I'll be like, okay, I'm good with it. 50% is a really, really good barometer, I think. But 80, like, come on.
Yeah, that's
easy.
It's definitely a bit much. I agree. That means they've been around the block too many times. That means that hooker has too much tread on her tires. And
you're not going to be able to get those guys unless it's like a fucking 8-guy league that's been abandoned or something.
That's right. Or you pay the high price for the hooker. All right. I definitely want to get back into college football. I know last episode we touched on it, and you defined the context of it where, for baseball, I'm the virgin, but for college football, I all of a sudden get to put my veteran hat on because I've done college fantasy football for 10-plus years. You've been doing college football for over 8 years, so we're both pretty much veterans at this point. And what I didn't do last time, and I want to make sure I state this right, so if people are listening for college football specifically, is you and I have, on different occasions, won college fantasy football championships, and I've lost a Super Bowl college football championship as well. Remind me, I know you've won one. Have you won more than one, or have you been to the championship game more than that one time?
I won one, and I went to the finals once and lost as well.
Okay, so we're both, I have identical finals records.
Yeah, but look, like, you're being modest, and I harped on this last week, and I want to harp on it again, because it's important, especially for the people that are listening for the college football advice. Yes, I've been doing it for a pretty good amount of time. Yes, I know my shit, but it still pales in comparison to what you know. Like, everyone knows these games air on Saturdays. On Sundays, you're throwing shit at me that's just, like, wow, basically. So don't sell yourself short in that sense.
Well, if you're trying to tell the people that by Sunday morning, I am so sad that I will literally go through every single box score of the 60-plus games that happened on Saturday, it's more than likely a true statement.
And you know what? I'm glad that you copped to that, because I think it was a few weeks ago where you were like, because, you know, baseball's not your forte, so to speak.
It's not my cup of tea. That's right.
Yeah. You were like, wow, you know, there's all these players, and you're tracking them in these pitchers and these hitters and 1 through 9 in a lineup, et cetera, et cetera. And I told you, I go, look, I go through every single box score every fucking day, and you just looked at me like I was from outer space.
Well, baseball's daily. I do it once a week for base college football. So in my defense, I think once a week is okay. You actually have a child. I have two, and yeah. You do it every day. That's pretty intense.
I do it. We're blessed in that, you know, he sleeps through the night. So I do it when he's sleeping. I can assure you of that part.
Okay, whatever makes the magic happen. What I do want to tell the people is, though, years ago, I found a site called collegefootballgeek.com, and I used to follow them pretty closely. Unfortunately, over the years, they shut down the site, but I kept up with a guy that used to run part of the site named Mike Bainbridge, and I still follow him on Twitter, and I listen for his advice, and he just created a brand new site called Patron, patreon.com, and he is only for $3 a month going to give a ton of college football advice, and I'm already signed up for him because I love the advice he's given over the years, and it includes pre-draft projections, updated depth charts, team-by-team preview, impact freshman, JUCO, sit start, waiver wire ads. It's all in one stop shop for $3 a month. It's like you kind of can't beat that.
So I agree with you, and I know that you're noting this because college football fantasy is pretty much a 180 from NFL fantasy, in that the NFL fantasy market is so fucking saturated, right? Like, it's like everybody and their mom has a website, and the content is so plentiful, and you can just pretty much find it, you know, at every corner, so to speak. But it's tough out there for college football fantasy fans, dude. It really, really is. There's probably a handful of websites. We know about all of them. The content is hit or miss, I guess I would say. And even, like, if you want to play, you know, because CBS stopped doing it a few years ago.
Yep, that's where I started 10 years ago.
Yeah, there's Fantrax, and then there's Fantrax, and that's the extent of it. So we're kind of sort of in a bubble. So anytime something new comes up, and I can attest, right, because College Football Geek was a really, really good website. Bainbridge doles out really, really solid advice. Like, this is pretty exciting for us that you know, really, really care for college fantasy.
Okay, so then I think we gave enough of that context. And last time we spoke, we were talking about who you thought was, like, the top QB, the top wide receiver, the top running back. And in the conversation, you shocked me with your wide receiver answer. And when I named a list of wide receivers, and I said, if you could pick one guy from the list, who would you pick as your top guy? You said Cortland Sutherland.
Sutton.
Yeah. Thank you for the correction. And gosh, I was scratching my head, and I didn't want to interrupt you on the podcast, but then the next day you text me, and why don't you tell the people what you felt in your buyer's remorse segment of text messaging?
Let's attribute this to me needing an all-star break, because I feel refreshed, right?
Okay.
So basically, you rattled off, I guess, like the top five rated receivers, and you're like, okay, if we have, you know, our pick, who would you take? And I had said Cortland Sutton, and truthfully, I stand behind everything I said. That offense is on the uptick. Chad Morris is going to have them throwing the ball over the place like he did with Clemson, and it's going to work. But still, the number one wideout to me is Richie James, Middle Tennessee State. He,
Who? Why?
Dude, you're not kidding, right? This dude, for 2 years in a row, has put it in our ass really, really good. You know, and it's funny. That's how I end up developing, like, an affinity for a lot of these players is because, like...
They put it in your ass?
I saw myself up for that one. Well done. Because, like, I'll watch them, you know, when we play against us, and they'll just, like, jump off the page and impress me. Like, one of those dudes was Zay Jones, right? He got drafted this year.
Yep, out of ECU.
Yeah, exactly. He caught, I think, literally 22 balls against us.
And he broke the NCAA all-time record for most receptions.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck, man, this guy's good. But anyway, going back to Richie James, 2 years in a row, he something physically, and he just crushed us. So... I'm watching him last year, and, dude, this guy does it all. They give him rushing attempts. He throws from time to time. He's definitely a wideout. He's a terrific wideout. He's got wonderful hands. He kind of does it all. He's fantasy gold. So, yeah, if you know, I could kind of get a mulligan, so to speak, Richie James would be, you know, the number one wideout for me.
Okay, I think you're going to need two mulligans on this podcast.
Ooh.
Because I think we need to rescind on Ito Smith, who we talked about as a running back. He is the running back out of Southern Miss, and he plays in Conference USA. And I think we had a small typo verbally in our last episode about which team he plays for. But
yeah, we got our Mississippis mixed up. Basically, we were talking about Nick Fitzgerald, who plays for Mississippi State, and then Ito Smith, who's a tailback for Southern Miss. Again, attribute that to the All-Star break. Also, it gets kind of tricky in college, shaking off the cobwebs, right? You have your states, you have your A&Ms, you have your A&Ts, you have all that fun shit. So it's a little bit of housekeeping, I guess you could say.
Okay, so now let's get into what I remember is one of our we've been sharing a roster for 4 years now, and every year one of us has a hard on for what we want to do depending on the position we're at. And last year you had a very large hard boner for a guy named Patrick something.
Pat Mahomes.
Out of Texas Tech.
By the way.
Yes.
Side note. Okay. Because this genuinely pisses me off.
I didn't know we did footnotes, but go ahead.
No. This genuinely pisses me off because it bothers me as a Lions fan, which I own on this podcast. Pro Football Focus came out with a list of, if you're starting a franchise tomorrow, who are the players that you want? Like the top 20 or whatever were quarterbacks. It makes sense. Cool. They had fucking Pat Mahomes before Matt Stafford. This is like, yeah. Like, I was going to text you yesterday, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring it up on the podcast. Like, their top 10, I get it, you know, Mariota, Winston. I'd rather Stafford before Winston, but who cares? Mariota, Winston, you know, these guys. I get it, Cam Newton. I get it. But really fucking Mahomes, and I love Mahomes. Dude, I watched every fucking snap Mahomes took last year.
He did, sadly.
I love him. When Kansas City traded up to get him, I was thrilled. Super excited for him to get a shot. I hope he's a Hall of Famer. But really, right now, today, before Steph?
All right. Well, I'm glad that ignited you. I was going to save the Calvin Johnson talk for the end of the podcast. But let's stick to the draft strategy item. So last year, you really wanted Patrick Mahomes, and we debated it because I told you, when you look at quarterbacks in both pro and in college, really the top 5-10 guys, the difference in their points every week is like 3 to 5 points when you break out the averages. But last year, two things happened that made me very wrong. Lamar Jackson happened, Mr. 5,000 and 50 touchdowns himself, and Patrick Mahomes happened.
And you really have 5,000 total yards?
Jeez, yeah, total yards. That's right.
I mean, they played 12 games, not 16.
Yep, and he got most of them in the first 10 because in the last two, he got shut down big time.
And he would get them at halftime, and then Petrino would sit them down.
Yeah, and so this year, though, we've got a clean slate. And what I want to do is I want to give people context because last year you wanted Patrick Mahomes. I wanted KD Cannon, not necessarily as our first pick, but I said as our top wide receiver because there's a difference between real-life talent and fantasy talent. And you and I haven't talked about who we do or don't have hard-ons for. Let's talk about draft strategy. Let's assume that we're lucky enough this year and we have a top five pick. Typically, for whatever reason, last 4 years we've done this together, we always have a bottom five first round pick. And we're sometimes in 10 guy or 12 guy leagues.
12, yeah, for the past few years.
And so if we had a top five pick and you could run with any horse, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, and just to be clear to the people, drafting a defense early is foolish. Just like in NFL, you don't do it. Although, just like in NFL, somebody starts taking a defense with their sixth, seventh round pick. And some years Alabama's really worth that stretch, and some years Alabama's worth an eighth, ninth round pick. So it's all dependent. But if we had a top five pick this year in the gauntlet, who do you think you'd want to go with?
So I hate to be like Mike Wilbon on PTA here and like not answer your question. But
question to a question, no. Okay, good. Ooh, I was going to close the podcast.
Podcast could prematurely end. Right. No, before we get into individual players for real, especially with college, it's important to know your rules, man, and to know your scoring, to understand your positions, how many players you start. Like for us on Fantrax, standard scoring now is, what is it, two flexes, right? And a flex could be a running back, a wide out, or a tight end. So like, more
and it's PPR,
right?
And rushing touchdown is 4 points. A passing touchdown is 4 points. A rushing touchdown is 6 points.
Correct. And I know we touched on that part last week, but like what they essentially do is they mitigate the tight end to the point where you probably won't even own a tight end on your roster. There, I mean, for the most part, few exceptions, you know, here or there every year, there is no like Rob Gronkowski, like kind of a difference maker in college, right? Even Evan Engram, you know, of Ole Miss, he was a first round pick in the NFL draft this year to the Giants. He had a really, really nice year. He was more or less like a Jimmy Graham, right? A wide receiver masquerading as a tight end. But I bet you, and I haven't looked, I bet you if you go back and look, there were at least 10 wideouts that had better fantasy seasons than him.
Better, but you could have started him as a wide receiver 2/3. So not a first-round type pick. Sure, somebody you could get later and start.
Right, but to me, there were so many wideouts that were better to where we would have either been really, really crushed on waivers or with injuries for me to say, okay, let's go grab a tight end right now. And then the other thing, too, in college, to me, the PPR, non-PPR thing is absolutely huge. I mean, look, in the NFL, you know, a couple of guys every week are going to consistently catch a shitload of ball, like Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, et cetera, right? But in college, there's guys every week. You tell me, because you look at the box score, 8 catches, 10 catches, 12 catches, and you want those dudes, whereas there's guys like, you know, Shelton Gibson from West Virginia. I think the Eagles drafted him this year. He 3 catches, 100 yards. In a non-PPR, perfect. If it's a PPR, you better hope he scored once or twice. Otherwise, you want the guy that caught 8 balls for 100 yards and not the 3 on the big play. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big, big part of it in college because there's a lot of players that catch a lot of balls on any given week. So the PPR thing, to me, because we just started doing that maybe 3 years ago, is the biggest difference maker.
Okay, I heard you. PPR, I'm still waiting for an answer. We have a top five pick in the first round.
It's got to be a quarterback, I believe. If somehow like a Lamar Jackson comes, realistically, Lamar Jackson will be gone. I don't know that there's anybody else I'm dying for. I'm telling you what's happening with me is I'm developing a lot of Darius Geis love. A lot, a lot, a lot. I somehow feel like he's underrated.
Okay, hold on. So Darius Geis, the running back at LSU, who's taken over for Fournette, who I loved and you were not a huge fan of, which is okay.
Yeah.
But so if Lamar Jackson is not in the top five, you would go with Darius Geis?
I believe so, yep.
Okay.
I think he's going to be a touchdown machine. I think he can run for anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 yards this year.
He did average over 5 yards a carry last year when he touched the rock.
Remember, there were some games, 10 carries, 122 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay. So then let's move down the draft board. I'm going to stay to the first round, and I said if we had a top five pick. Now I'm going to ask you if we had a bottom five pick. Let's say Lamar Jackson's gone. Let's say Darius Geis is gone. Then what are you looking at? Are you going to go back to quarterback, or are you going to take the what I call BPA, best player available?
So,
or what would you think?
So it's still preliminary. I haven't fully deep dived the way that I will coming up here. But you know, the bane of our existence for a couple straight years there was the wideout position. For whatever reason, we just couldn't nail the wideout position. So at the bottom of the draft, if we have, let's say, 10 or 11 out of 12, I would be okay with taking, like, the top wideout there. Maybe then we'll come back with, like, a running back or something, and then hopefully there's a quarterback, like, maybe, like, a Baker Mayfield in the fourth round or something if we're not going to get a first-round QB. But, like, the aforementioned Richie James, if we're sitting there at 10 or 11, I think that would be okay.
Okay, let's do a quick name game with that then, because you've piqued my interest, because you amended saying Cortland Sutton in the last podcast for Richie James, which I'm good with, and I agree. I think Richie James in all draft formats should be the number one wide receiver to come off the board.
Well, like, don't get me wrong. If James goes and we're staring wide out in the face, I would tell you let's grab Sutton at that point.
Okay. Let's pretend Richie James and Cortland Sutton are both gone, and I'm going to name you a few receivers. Who would you take first? Anthony Miller of Memphis, Michael Gallup of Colorado State, Dante Pettis of Washington, James Washington of Oklahoma State, or Christian Kirk of Texas A&M.
Who was the first one you mentioned?
Anthony Miller out of Memphis.
That's another one that put it in our ass last year. He ran like a 40-yard reverse for a touchdown against us. So I like him a lot. Probably Michael Gallup, but I'm going to let you talk about Michael Gallup because that's your boy.
Well, Michael Gallup out of Colorado State. Colorado State, traditionally a running team. For some reason last year, they ran pretty decently, and the only guy it seemed like they could throw the ball to was a guy named Michael Gallup, who we picked up as free agents very early in the year. And he went from being somebody we picked up and held to somebody we were starting every single week.
Dude, towards the end of the year, he was crushing it. He's a PPR machine.
And had we started our lineup properly in the playoffs, and I'm still kicking myself today, I benched Gallup in the playoffs because they were playing Air Force, and I didn't think he was going to get us the type of upside we needed, because we needed upside based on matchup. And we lost, and the point differential we lost by, and I still kick myself today. It's 6, 7, 8 months later, and I'm still dying on the inside.
This is where college fantasy fucks you, like, hard. Because, you know, like, I remember talking about it, and Colorado State isn't the most explosive team. Air Force is one of those triple option teams. Yep. So possessions are going to be limited. So a lot of times when you're looking at who to start, you're weighing opportunity. Like, is it a wide open game? Is it going to be like Texas Tech, Oklahoma, a million possessions, pinball kind of a thing? And a game like Air Force, Colorado State, you say, limited possessions. Maybe there's not a ton of upside there. We can look in a different direction, especially when you play against those triple option teams, because Air Force, one drive, 14 plays, 11 minutes. See you later. They ate a whole fucking quarter. It's tough, man. It's tough.
Okay, and now I'm going to get out of the first round, and I'm going to name a couple of names to you, and I want to see what you do and think with them, and you're going to be familiar with the names I name. And first, let me throw out the one that I think is going to let's see how you react. Larry Rose of New Mexico State.
That's your boy, man.
Not highly rated this year. What do you think of him? What if I said, let's draft him, why don't you give people context of who he is and where would you think to draft him?
I can't with this fucking guy anymore. So 2 years ago, you were like, hey, there's this guy in New Mexico State that's tearing shit up. I'm like, okay. You're like, I'm going to pick him up. I'm like, okay, which is what tends to happen because he's following it closer than I am, and you know, you're on top of it. You're fucking Mr. Box Score at 3 a.m. on you know, Saturday nights, apparently. So you're like, this guy's been tearing it up, I'm gonna pick him up. I'm like, okay. So you pick up Larry Rose 2 years ago, and lo and behold, this guy's unfucking believable. I mean, he's 100 yards and 2 touchdowns pretty consistently every week, and he had weeks where he was even better than that, 35 40 fantasy points. So last year we were targeting him hard. And he went down in preseason with a groin injury, right?
Sports hernia injury.
Oh, there you go. So I know, like, you went in and you got your own, like, diagnosis and stuff.
Well, to be fair, my brother-in-law is a nurse, and I asked him about sports hernia recovery. And it was a few weeks before the draft. He's like, yeah, it'll be fine after 2 to 3 weeks. Don't worry about it. Most people are up. They're walking and talking. I said, what about running? He goes, usually 2 to 3 weeks later, you can run. And
so I'm think we're going to get value.
Yeah. We took him in the 5th round.
Yeah.
And what happened with that?
I don't know. When did we cut him? By week 7, week 8, after holding and getting big fat nothing burger?
Yeah, apparently his recovery wasn't as fluid as one would have hoped. And even late in the season, kept following him. People were picking him up and dropping him. He never panned out as everybody had anticipated. And so now, in my mind, if he's fully recovered and he's lowly rated, he's going to be the type of guy that I'm gonna buck the trend and say, to me, he's probably going to fall into sleeper land. And if we're sitting in the 7th, 8th round and he's still sitting out there, I'm going to advocate really damn hard.
That's still kind of sort of high for me. To me, if you say sleeper, it's got to be after like the 10th round or something. I think our drafts are like 17 or 18 rounds. In the 7th round, we're still drafting somebody that is going to be in our lineup starting every week, I believe. Plus, I'm scarred, man. I'm just scarred. Like, we would read those reports. He's ready to go. He looks terrific in practice. He'll suit up, and then, like, it'll be pregame warm-ups. We'll have him in our lineup, and the report will break. Oh, yeah, he's not feeling good in warm-up, so he's not going to dress today. Like, fuck that, man. I can't do it.
Yeah, okay. Well, don't worry. On draft day, I'll fight you about your scars. Anyway.
I look forward to it.
And then one more I want to bring up because I feel like we've been talking about this guy for the last 12 years.
Oh, God, we have. I know who it is.
Go ahead.
It's fucking Ralph Webb, isn't it?
Yeah, but his first name's not fucking. It's just Ralph Webb of Vanderbilt, SEC running back.
You know, for like college sports fans, I mean, I guess basketball as well. You know how there's always those players that like somehow end up like 6th-year seniors and you feel like they've been there since like you were born. That's how I feel about Ralph. Like Chris Winkie, you know, back in the day, he was like 28 when he graduated or something like that.
From Florida State.
Yeah. For whatever circumstance. Dude, this is how I feel about Ralph Webb. I feel like he's been at Vandy and you have been talking to me about him since like 2004 or something like that. Like, he will not get out of my life.
The fantastic thing about Ralph Webb is he comes close to rushing for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns every year.
That's shitty in college, though.
It is, but if you pick him up on the right weeks, you can plug him in, and you can plug him out for bye weeks and injuries.
Super. Is he even a starter on it? Isn't that Blazin' Game guy there? Remember Blazin' Game last year? He was their goal line back.
Okay. So this is us mentioning college football now. We have joined a league, and I highly suggest everybody else does that because a lot of leagues are full for those of you that want to play this season. And as we get closer to our official draft date and time, we will definitely dive deeper into draft strategy, players we're targeting, players we're not targeting. So you just heard my brother's not targeting Ralph Webb, where I would in the late enough round because I think he brings just enough value to be plugged in for such things as injuries and bye weeks. And we will definitely get deeper into news items like Darren Carrington of Oregon has been indefinitely suspended, and he might have been one of the fastest players in all of college football.
He was. Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
And we'll give you more in-depth analysis, but because we're still in mid-July, I want to wait until we get a little bit closer to August before we start converting over.
And then I guess we should mention, too, that at some point really, really soon here, we're going to get into NFL. I know everybody, you know, I bitched a couple of weeks ago that everybody's already pretty much moved over to that. Like, baseball's a wasteland at this point, and it's predominantly NFL. You turn on fantasy radio, it's NFL stuff. We'll get there as well. It's just kind of silly right now with, you know, training camps not even open yet to really deep dive into these position battles, et cetera, to me.
That's right. I definitely don't want to talk about OTA yet, but we will definitely wind down baseball, ramp up the college and NFL. Yeah. But like you said, we haven't even set up our NFL leagues yet. We're still a little bit away from that, but closer to August, we'll start getting into NFL as well. And hey, if people, you have questions, suggestions, like, hate, preferences, you can always visit our Facebook page at Fantasy Advice Bros at Facebook. gmail.com. And we're open to any feedback. And those are items we can discuss. But before we did shut this down, there's one more conversation I wanted to have because I want the people to hear this and hear it properly. Because I've texted you, I think, 7 times today with the word denial. And
dude, I'm not in denial. Oh, God, go ahead.
The person in denial just said he's not in denial.
Oh, Lord.
So as Detroit, longtime Detroit Lions fans, which is going to be the death of both of us, but more you than me recently.
Definitely me.
You're upset with Calvin Johnson, who's been retired for a full season, and I respect the hell out of the guy, but why don't you tell the people why you're so mad at him?
Calvin needs to shut the fuck up. Like, it's that simple. Calvin needs to shut up. Listen, here's the deal. Uh-huh. Here's the deal, because something that you like to say, and I know you haven't said it on this podcast yet, but you always like to say you deal in facts. Right.
That's right. There's a ton of conjecture reports in fantasy land.
Yeah. Like if we have like an argument or just, you know, we're having a conversation, you'd be like, well, here are the facts. I'll be like, all right, cool. I'll take out my pen and paper and shit. Right. So here are the Calvin Johnson facts.
Ooh. Okay.
He stated when he retired, he said he made up his mind to retire after the 2015 season. Right.
Yeah.
Let me remind you, the 2015 season. After the 2014 season. That year in 2014, the Lions were 10-6, okay? They were 10-6, and they got fucked out of a playoff win in Dallas because a ref picked up a pass interference. I think about it every day. Who cares? Bottom line, they were fucked out of a playoff win, okay? After that, Kelvin said, I'm done. 2015's my last year. Admittedly, 2015 was a rough year. They started 0-5. They finished 7-9. It was a bad, bad year. He retired after that. Okay, cool. Calvin retires. He says, oh, my body, my finger. Stafford throws hard. Whatever. Good for you, dude. You made a shitload of money. Borderline Hall of Fame career. At some point, that'll get debated, too. I don't really give a shit because I hate the guy at this point.
It is. But, go ahead.
But, you know, that was it. See you later. Have a nice day. Then what happens? The Lions go for like 10% of the signing bonus, you know, that they're entitled to get back from him.
But let's be honest, the Fords aren't hurting for money, so they didn't need to.
No, the Fords aren't hurting for money, but it's also a precedent of if you're going to up and retire on us, we're just not going to eat money. It's good.
And mind you, the Lions have led the league in dead money over in the last 5 years, I think.
What about Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah, but keep going.
So,
sorry. Yeah.
So fucking anyway. So he retires. He's like, oh, my body. After that stuff happens with the signing bonus, Kelvin comes out and cries about his signing bonus money. Whatever. That's fine. Who cares? But I'm really, really pissed because a few days ago, he's all like, oh, I retired because the Lions didn't really have a chance to win. And I was stuck in my contract. If he decided after the 2014 season he was going to retire, then that whole winning thing is absolute bullshit. Because, again, 10-6. Should have had a playoff win. That's very, very competitive. And that playoff game was on the road, too. Full of shit. And then he's like, oh, I was stuck in my contract. They weren't going to release me. Hello, that's what a contract is. Contract that he signed very, very willingly that made him the highest paid wideout in the history of the NFL. He didn't say, no, I'm going to wait out to get to free agency because I want to play for a contender. They said, hey, Kelvin, want to be the highest paid wideout ever? He said, sure. Give me the fucking pen. And he did it. What is his point now? He needs to shut up and just enjoy retirement.
So I'll briefly say the following statements. The day he retired, I told you it's an indictment on the franchise. You rebutted me, you rebutted me, and you rebutted me. Now he's coming out and telling you the truth of what you always knew deep down, and you're just in really bad denial. It's an indictment on the entire franchise.
I just stated facts. He's full of shit.
I respect the hell out of him for telling the truth.
After he lied about it?
After you put yourself through denial because you knew it was an indictment on the franchise.
It is not an indictment on the franchise, nor do I give a shit. Mind you, Stafford had his best season ever last year without Kelvin. I don't think it's a coincidence. He took a major step forward last year.
Well, good news, folks. I fired up my brother before his bedtime.
Thank you for that.
I think that should be all the Calvin Johnson talk we do for the rest of the podcast lifespan.
Forever. I'm done with him in general.
And in our next podcast, we will happily bring you brand new baseball news, brand new baseball pickups, and a little bit more of college football. And I did want to remind the people that I also run an anime podcast called Anime Titans. You can find us at Anime Titans Podcast at Facebook.com. I do take comments, suggestions, and thumbs up and thumbs down. And Rams, I know you didn't too much care for the new Apes movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you for driving me, whining and dining me, because you actually turned your air conditioner on for me, which you never do.
That's because I never get hot, so why would I turn on my air?
What a unique characteristic. He never gets hot, and he's in denial, folks. Look at that.
Only one of those is true. I'll leave it to the listeners.
Two for two. All right. Until next time, folks, we appreciate you listening, and hope to get some more feedback from you. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Fantasy Advice Bros, presented by Gabber Media.